You did very well. At least you haven't forgotten it. Now, it is a real privilege for me to introduce Mr. Correa to you, but he's only a stranger to some of you. How many of you have met this man before? Would you put your hands up? Let me see. Now, it might have been anywhere in the north or the south or the east or the west, because believe it or not, he crops up in all different parts of the United States of America. He'll be telling us something about the radio work in Bermuda, and he works hard at that and keeps the rest of us who have programs on the air working hard too. And I have a program myself in Bermuda, and the tapes go to Arthur, and along with, I better not mention how many because I expect he will, either this morning or tonight, these tapes go on the air. But you know, yesterday we had him out for the day. And we had a musical interlude throughout the 5 or 6 hours because he's a little like Billy Bray. If you nailed him in a barrel, he'd shout glory through the bunghole. And he was singing, and some of those old choruses that I hadn't heard for years and years and years. You know, Bermuda is closely allied with Britain for some reason. And I have to be careful what I say, although I'm British, you know, because he's much more loyal than I am. And so I have to be very, very careful. But some of these, Mrs. Willie's nodding her head there, so he has a friend at court here. But some of those old English choruses I hadn't heard for years and years, he was singing them away in the back of the car there, and that's in spite of the fact that we also took the dog, and he loathes that dog. But still he sang. Now, if he can sing when there's a dog in the car, well, he knows how to sing under real tribulation. But let me tell you something about him that I think will give an insight. Just a couple of years, or 3 years or so ago, he has a Bible bookstore in Bermuda, so when you take that trip to Bermuda, be sure to visit the Bible bookstore. If you walk in, you think there's nobody there, just stand on tiptoes and look over the counter, and you'll find him right there, surrounded by very, very good books. Now, he used to have a little store that was put at his disposal freely by the Piggly Wiggly store. And so right alongside the Piggly Wiggly store, you would find Arthur de Costa Correa with his Bible bookstore. But you know, it wasn't exactly an ideal location. And so he began to pray that God would supply him with another location. Now, he realized he wasn't going to be able to pay a very high rent, but he said, Lord, if you will find me another place for $200 a month, then I'll just trust you to supply that money. And lo and behold, somebody got in touch with him and told him he was going to restructure his building and move upstairs, and the downstairs was going to be vacant. And if Arthur would like it, then he could move in there with his bookstore. And the rent was going to be, what was it, $100 a month? First, $150 a month. So he goes home and tells his folk, I'm going to move. How can you raise $150 a month, they want to know. $150 a month, that's $1,800 a year just for rent before you start. Well, he said, look, I told the Lord, if he found me a place for $200, then I would move. So I really have no choice. And so he waited up and he prayed about it and he said, I'm going to do it. And that's a big move for a little fellow like this, you know. I'm going to do it. And so after he had made up his mind, early next morning he gets a call from the man who owns the building. The man said to him, Arthur, I had no sleep all last night. I can't charge you $150. You can move in for nothing. And so there it is. That's how the Lord has honored his faith. And that will just give you a little insight into the life of this man. I think that's kind of characteristic of him. I already stole now 3 minutes of his time, and I told him he has to be through by 12 o'clock. If he's not, I'll pull his coattail.
Thank you, Arthur. Got me all hooked up here with wires, so I'm getting scared I'm going to get a shock here. I want to say, first of all, it's good to be here at the park again, and I want to thank Mr. Willie and the elders here for giving me this opportunity of having this day with you. And also thank Mr. Woodhouse for being, and Mrs. Woodhouse for being such a good host and hostess while I'm here. It's a joy knowing them. My association goes back with them about now 5, 6, 7 years anyway. And I had heard so much about this Ernest Woodhouse. He said so many things about me. I'm just going to tell you something about him, how I got to meet him. And our folks heard in Bermuda that I was visiting Word of Life. At that time, the speaker was Mr. Ernest Woodhouse. And I said, here is this character. I said, I've got to meet him. I've heard so much about him. As he was the one who started the Olivet Bible School in Bermuda. And he hadn't been back for over 20 years. And he was the speaker, and I was sitting up in front at Word of Life. I looked back and I thought it looked like Ernest Woodhouse, and I went over to him. And I says, what about a visit back to Bermuda? The brethren has asked me to ask you to come back and pay them a visit after a long absence of 20 years. And I said, I'll line up meetings for you in all the different assemblies, which we have about 10 on the island, one night in each, and I'm sure we'll have a wonderful time. And that was our association with Mr. Woodhouse, getting to know him. And our people love him and Mrs. Woodhouse, and every time they come, they really appreciate his ministry. I want to say it's good to be here, and I have so much to say. You know, when Mr. Woodhouse said, be sure you finish at 12, well, he knows what we are in Bermuda. Like he said, we're very loyal to the Crown, yet, and so you know what English speakers can be, don't you? Just a wee bit long. We've had some who says, just take off your watch and put it in your pockets and don't even worry about the time. Well, I won't tell you that. I'll try and finish on 12 anyway. I want to say that I've been saved now. The Lord has saved me over 22 years ago. I was saved in a Bible club meeting. You may have known Bill Patterson. I'm sure many of you know the great Scottish evangelist Bill Patterson. I was saved under his ministry in Bermuda. How I think of Bill so many times, and the faithfulness and the word that he preached. How we need more men like Bill Patterson in our day. And so I was saved at a very early age of 12 years old. And of course, you know, in those days, it's not like today. I was saved in January, and of course I wanted to be baptized. And the elders of the meeting says, no, you can't be. You're just going to wait, and we're going to watch you. I said, oh, my word, I'll never get there then. If they're going to watch every move I make, I know something's going to happen. But it was the following August, it was that August of that year, that I went through the waters of baptism. And you know, I said to the dear servant that baptized me, or come into the house, and he wanted to know if I was going to be baptized and so forth. And I looked at him and I said, what on earth am I going to be able to do? I said, I can't walk much. I don't have much strength. What do you think I can do? What am I going to do? He said, you never mind. Never mind. The Lord has something that he has for you to do. And he said, you'll see it. He'll show it to you if you're going to be available to him. Little did he realize, or probably little did I realize, that the Lord was going to entrust to me a radio ministry, of which I'll be telling you more about this evening, of 48 radio broadcasts a week, with one television program getting a budget of near $30,000 a year. 15 to 18 of these programs are not sponsored, but they are put on by the gifts of the Lord's people as the Lord instills upon them, presses the urgency of the need, and each month we have different ones come into the book room and say, Arthur, here's a gift towards the radio ministry. And this is how some 15 programs are on. And you know, the Lord has been faithful up to now. And He has promised to be faithful. And when I always start a new program, I always say the Lord is no man's debtor. And He has promised to supply not our wants, but He has promised to supply our need. And so I'm going to be telling you about the radio ministry this evening and how it started, showing you some slides, and I'm sure you won't want to miss these slides, and I chucked in there some scenes of Bermuda just to whet your appetite, just in case you should be like Grace Mutter and her dear husband coming to Bermuda and many others. You know, you may want to take a trip down there and visit the island of Bermuda. And I might say here, visiting the oldest colony that England has ever had. We're still under the crown. We're celebrating near 370 years. So when I hear you folks talking about 200, you know, it's just, you're just a little baby towards Bermuda. So we're still faithful there to her. We had a visit from the Queen, and it was really good to have her there and many of the other royal people. I've told you a little about my testimony, how I was saved and when. Now I want you to take the word here. I want you to look with me to the Gospel of John. You know, so many times we give certain characters names in the Bible, don't we? But you know, if we would only examine these characters, I wonder how many times we could apply that name to ourselves, huh? You ever heard of Doubting Thomas? We like to think of Thomas as Doubting Thomas. How many times do we doubt the Lord ourselves? What about Peter? My, that awful, wretched Peter. How he denied the Lord. The denying Peter. I ask you and I ask myself, how many times do we deny the Lord? And so this morning, we're going to look at the phrase, until I come. That's found in John 21. And as time permits, we'll go through a few of the other two or three of till I come. But this is the till I come I want us to look at. In John 21, begin reading at verse 20. I know many of you, if not all, believe that the Lord is going to come, and my, He's coming so soon. We can almost hear the footprints at the door, can't you? When you read the papers, when you hear the news, when you see the way the world is going in our daily walk as we go out and we say, my, I wonder what's coming next. Do you wonder? And do you believe that the Lord is coming soon? Don't you feel like saying, as He has told us to pray, even so come, Lord Jesus? If He should come today, wouldn't it be a glad day? It certainly would. But you know, He may not come today. He may not come tomorrow. He may not come next year. We don't know when He's coming, but we know that He's coming. Because He has promised, if I go, I will come again. And so until He comes, we're going to find some things that He wants us to do. He didn't save us to sit. He saved us for a purpose. He just didn't save us and say, now you've got your ticket. You just sit down in that rocking chair and just take it easy. There's nothing to be done. No, He saved us, beloved. He saved you and He saved me for a purpose. And if it's one thing we're going to do, we're going to give an account of our stewardship, our service, and our talents. And I want you to look in verse 20 of chapter 21 of the Gospel of John. We're going to read a few verses here. Then Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? What man? John. What is this man going to do? He looks like he's laying down, taking it easy. What is he going to do? And Jesus said unto Peter, if I will that he tarry, till I come, what is there to do with thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad amongst the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry, or I tarry, till I come, what is there to do with thee? This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And we're going to stop there. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Peter, what is that to do with thee? I want you to follow me. What can you get out of that follow till I come? It's obedience. Peter, I want you to be obedient to me, and obedient until I come, I want you to follow me. Now, I'm going to say that in this day and age, it's very easy to be deterred, isn't it? I don't know if you're plagued with knocks on your doors and so many nice people giving you literature. You know, we've even had some who have taken this literature and been swept in these cults and denominations and so forth. And I constantly tell them, when the Lord gives opportunity to speak, they tell them, you don't need their literature. And the book says not even to bid them Godspeed and to get them going. Tell them that. And Peter here is worrying about John, and he's saying, Lord, what is he going to do? And I can almost hear the Lord saying, you just don't worry about him. What I want you to do is to be obedient, and until I come, follow me. Now, do we get worried about what the next person is doing? You ever heard anybody saying, well, I'm doing so much, and, oh, that person, they just hardly do a thing. Something like Peter getting. Don't you fit into Peter so many times when we read the life of Peter? How about talking? You know how Peter talks so quickly? You know, every time I read Peter, I see myself for the talking issue. I just love to talk. And you know, that's why Brother Woodhouse says, don't forget to finish at 12, because he knows when I get wound up here. But you know, Peter, I want you to be obedient. You know, that's what Saul was told. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And you know, if the Lord can find an obedient child, an obedient servant, he can use him. Peter, what is that to do with thee? Follow me. First of all, we have until I come to be obedient. That's the first thing. We must be obedient until the Lord comes. But you know, I want you to look at another till I come. And until the Lord comes, this is what he wants us to do also. First of all, until he comes, he wants us to be obedient, to follow him. But you know, he don't only want us to follow him. He wants us to do something else until he comes. And I want you to look with me in Luke 19, and we're going through very briefly, but I want you to look in Luke 19, in verse 11. And here we have a parable. First of all, until the Lord comes, let us be, and He wants us to be, obedient. But you know, until He comes, He wants us to be this. Right here in verse 11 of Luke 19. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Jesus is speaking a parable, an illustration. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants. And delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, sit down and take it easy until I come back. Is that what is there? I should say not. And he said unto them, till I come, or occupy till I come. What is this till I come? Service. To be busy. Until the Lord comes, what can you do? Can you visit? You know, I visited a dear old lady. She was way up in age, couldn't get out too much. And she told me, she says, Arthur, you know what I do? I can't get out and visit too much now. But she says, what I do, I take my pen and some good writing paper, and I write little notes and mail them to different shut-ins. That's a ministry. Here this dear soul couldn't get out anymore. But here she was busy. Till the Lord comes, she was writing little notes, or till the Lord called her home. Another one I visit, dear saint, lovely widow, Arthur, what can I do? I can't get out anymore. I said, you know what? You have the greatest ministry entrusted to you. What is it? Prayer. When I'm out there running around visiting and doing the work that the Lord has for me to do, I don't have enough time to pray like I should, but you can pray for me. She said, are you sure of that? I said, I'm positive. That's the greatest weapon that the Christian, that the child of God has, is prayer. And I said, I want you to pray for me. Don't forget. I have two dear sisters. Now, you know, nothing cheers your heart, and I'm sure our brother Woodhouse can verify this. When you're in the Lord's work, you know, and you get this little letter. And in this little letter says, my sister and I are up 4:30, 5 o'clock every morning, and we have our prayer time, and we never fail to remember you in prayer. But you know, I tell you, when I read something like that, it just gives you that extra zip to go on and say, well, someone is praying. Occupy till I come. Can you pray? Can you witness? Can you write little notes? You can do something, because you're still here. And we must remember that while we're here, our job, our ministry, whatever the Lord has entrusted for us to do, is not yet complete. And you know, He has something for you to do. And He says, I want you to be occupied until I come. Service is a great thing. You know, we can learn a lesson from these people who are going around knocking on doors and giving out the literature. They never tire, do they? Never tire. And they know just what to read to you and so forth. My, I can remember an experience in my book room, and they came in, two nice looking healthy young men came in, and as you came in my book room, has all the coats there, right there for them. Mormon, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh Day, right there, the little booklets from Back to the Bible. And I saw one as he came in, pick up a Mormon little clipping. Then he went down further, and I had a book by Oswald J. Smith, or J. Oswald Smith from Canada. The Four Evils Cults, They, of course, was Mormon, and I saw him pick that. And I said, oh, I must have got a Mormon in the store, and we're going to have fun today. And so he came up with a few of these books, and he came and he checked them through, and I said, are you visiting here? Oh, yes. I said, and where are you from? From the States. And I looked at this, and I picked up the little leaflet, and I said, would you be from Salt Lake City? He said, yes. I said, and would you be a Mormon? He said, yes. I said, that's interesting. He said, you have no right to sell this book here. How do you know we're evil? I says, because the book says so. He says, do you mind if I sit down and talk to you? I said, on one condition. You can sit and talk to me if after you've unloaded all your doctrine to me, then I can talk to you. But, I said, you must leave after I finish and no more argument. I said, now I'll hear you and I'll try and be a good listener. But I said, after you get through, I must say something. But I said, and after that, you keep your mouth shut. And I said, you see the door, you must go. He says, all right, I'll settle for that. And he sat down, you know, and he opened the Bible, just like we have. And he went along and done all what they do, you know. How the angels are reserved and chained and all of that. You know, one verse out of here and one verse everywhere. No content. And then he said, then I said, now are you through? He said, yes. I said, all right, now remember, I don't want to hear a word out of you, both of you, while I'm talking to you. And I said, and remember, you were going to leave after I said what I was going to say to you. And I gave them the gospel. And I said, do you know that Christ died for you? He shed his precious blood. That he was buried and he rose again, and praise God, he's coming back. But I said, you know, if you're not washed in the blood, you can read all what you like, believe all what you like, take out all context what you like, but you won't be going where the Lord is. And I gave him, and I told him, for God so loved the world that he gave, and I told both of them that. And I says, now I'm through. And I says, now don't you say a word. And I said, you, if do not accept this gospel, when you get to the judgment seat, you'll remember, to the great white throne, you'll remember what I have told you. And I want you to go. I want you to go now, not with your blood upon my hands, but to hold you responsible what you have heard. And they said, do I really have to leave? I said, you must leave. And they went. Beloved, what I'm trying to say, we must be occupied for the Lord till he comes. Don't sit. I know we get to a certain age and a certain space in life and we just think we can't do nothing. But we can. We can do something. Just a little word of encouragement to someone who's not feeling so well. Oh, I love to visit. Sometimes I do. I do 5, 6, 8 visits a day. I just love to go in and sit to the widows. I visit a couple in Brother Woodhouse and Sister Woodhouse would know them. Brother and Sister Todd, married 71 years of marriage. One is 93, the other one's going to be 92. And I go in and see Aunt Hetty and Uncle John. And you know, I can sit there and talk to them. And she says, Arthur, she says, I know you wouldn't forget me every now and then. I know you're going to pop up sometime. Just waiting there. Every day, in and day out. Mind good as a clock. But just the body, as you would expect, getting weak. And then going in the hospitals and seeing people with terminal diseases and amputation. I know we have a Sister Bascom from Alaska Hall, both legs amputated, very depressed. And I said, come on, Sister Bascom, you know, one of these days you're waiting for that new body just like I am. I says, and I wonder if people's going to know me in heaven. You know, I tease them sometimes and I say, you won't know me in heaven. You're always going to be looking for a small little man, but I'm going to be normal in heaven. How's that? And so, you know, occupy service until he comes. Obedience. He wants obedience Till I come, Peter, what is there to do with you? Follow me. Remember, Peter took his eyes off the Lord one time, didn't he? Remember that? And he started to go down. And you know, the minute you and I take our eyes off of him, that's just what's going to happen to us. We'll begin hearing things that we shouldn't hear, deterring where we shouldn't be deterred to. Occupy obedience, and then occupy service for him until he comes to be occupied. The next thing I want us to look at is in 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter, chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, having fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so let him minister the same one to another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here, we don't have the words, till I come, but we do have the word there, but. And I want you to remember, dear saints, that whenever you see the word but in Scripture, it's always going to change the scene. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many. You see, he came to his own, but his people wouldn't have nothing to do with him. Then the word comes in, but to as many as received him. Here we see here, but the end of things is, the end of all things is at hand. And Peter, what are you trying to tell us? Well, I'm trying to tell you that until the Lord comes, I want you to be sober and watch unto prayer. That's what I want you to do. Peter, do you remember in the garden? You couldn't even stay awake 1 hour. Yes, I remember. What about us? I heard Brother Willie say that you had a wonderful prayer meeting here last Thursday night. Brother Wardenberg spoke of his experiences. I know prayer meetings are not the best. They're not the best meetings to come to, are they? You know, I know in Bermuda we have those brethren and they mean well. I don't know if you have any, I'm sure you don't. But you know, our brethren in Bermuda, sometimes they get carried away. My one would pray 10, 15 minutes and you wonder, is he going to ever stop? And you know, he goes all around the globe and he finally comes back. And you know, sometimes We are very cordial and we say, now, brethren, make the prayers brief so that we can have a lot of other brethren take part. You ever heard of that? And so, you know, prayer meetings are always not the best ones to come to. You know, we get tired and I just can't make it. Peter here says, until the Lord comes, I want you watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. Beloved, prayer is very important. I know how it is in my life for prayer. My, I've seen sometimes the end of the month almost approaching. Thank God, I might add here that I don't have any money in the bank where I don't need the bill, where I don't need the Lord to come in and supply the need. I say thank God for that. Because, you know, if money was in the bank where the bills could be paid, I wouldn't be on my knees as much asking the Lord to supply the need. But you know, he knows just how much to give. He knows just when to give it. He's never too early nor too late. But he wants to see his children ask. And he says, until I come, watch and pray. And be sober. Be vigilant. Beloved, I had the most tremendous experience on Good Friday conference. And by the way, our conference in the afternoon lasted 2.5 hours. From 2:30 to 5 o'clock. Each speaker spoke for over an hour. You know, as I was coming out of that conference in the afternoon, a dear saint came, she pulled my coat, you know, and she says, Brother, I want to see you. I said, all right. What is it, dear sister? She says, I want to help you in the radio ministry. I said, wonderful. She says, could you just wait? I'm going to get it out. And I waited there, you know. And my, it just thrills you when you see people giving because the Lord has told them to give. You know, she reached in, you know, hand tightly clutched. She shook my hand. And you know, in it, I'll tell you what was in it. $1. And you know, when I got outside, I didn't know it was, but when I got outside and I opened it, all I said was, praise the Lord. It was just like receiving about $1,000 or something, because that dear soul just felt the need that she would love to help in the Lord's work. And you know, that is really wonderful. You know, that's an answer to prayer. Because I always pray, Lord, continue to supply the need. Whatever way you see fit, just supply it. Prayer is so important. The old hymn says, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered and unexpressed, a motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. And we must pray until he comes. How is your prayer life? I never forgot our brother, you know him well, Dr. Theodore Epp. One of his messages on the radio, he says, now all I can hear is we're too busy. I don't have enough time to sit down and read and pray. He says, well, I want you to add how much time you spend in eating, how much time you spend in sleeping, socializing, and he went on, and then he says, and put down how much time you spend in prayer and in the book. I never forgot that. Because we make sure we sit down and have some nice meals, don't we? We make sure that we get together with our friends, don't we? But how little do we make sure that we get down on our knees and in the book? Peter, he says, until the Lord comes, brethren and sisters and saints, I want you to watch and pray and be sober. He says, until the Lord comes, be fervent in charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. Until the Lord comes, he says, be sober. The Lord is coming soon. And he says, be weary, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And this, till I come, we could insert in there, because but the end of all things is at hand. So Peter says, until he comes. And this, what I put this one as faithfulness. The Lord desires faithfulness in prayer. Faithfulness to watch and to be sober. He wants us to be faithful. What does he say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. Yes, that's what I've given you to do. It may not be on the platform all the time. It may be just on that telephone where no one sees you. But you're faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He wants us to be faithful in prayer. Faithful to watch for his coming. Don't let us be like the Thessalonians. Remember what they done? They just sat down and, my, the Lord's coming soon, so we'll just sit and wait. No. Paul had to tell them, get up, get moving. The Lord is coming, but he wants you to be busy. You know, I always think of the hymn, when Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. And then the hymn writer asks a question in regard to faithfulness. He says, have you been true to the trust he left us? And do you seek to do your best? Is in your heart there is not condemn us? And then only you'll have a glorious rest. Are you faithful in prayer? Are you faithful in watching that he may come today? Peter here says, be faithful. Watch in all things. And the last one, as the clock is going, coming right up to that 12, and I don't want to go over it. I don't want to get the name being a long-winded speaker. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians, and my, this is one that we really do, don't we? You look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. And we done it this morning, didn't we? We done it. Paul here writing to the saints at Corinth says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death until when? Until he comes. And you know, we have no option. And let me say that again. We have no option in coming to the Lord's table. Because Paul here, writing to the saints at Corinth, he says, until the Lord comes, you're to do this. This do in remembrance of me until I come. And you know what that speaks to me? Communion and fellowship. My, how the Lord loves when his children gather around to have communion and fellowship with him. Wouldn't you agree with me that we need times like these in the day in which we're living? To come aside a while. My, what a wonderful hour we can spend, an hour and a half at a meeting like this, or a meeting like we had, to remember the Lord until he comes. I'm sure you'd agree with me. Nothing is so more precious to the saint than a meeting of this nature, communion. You know what it is as a father and mother. I'm sure many of you just love to get phone calls from your sons or your daughters, or you like to visit them. And you love to have that communion and that fellowship with them, don't you? I know I think back and I think of my dear mother before she passed away. It was so good to have her home. So good to have that communion with her and my father. The Lord loves that same. He loved us so much that he went all the way to the cross of Calvary. You know, I had a dear lady in my store the other day and she said, you know, Arthur, I just got hold of the words, Jesus loves me. I said, you just got hold of those words? My women, that's almost 2,000 years old. That's why he went to the cross, because he loved you. Beloved, every time we come, and we are told, until he comes, this do in remembrance of me. We have an obligation, we have a duty to be here each Lord's Day morning, gathering around him, gathering around the table, gathering with one another for communion and fellowship. Oh, how we need to have the communion and fellowship with him and with one another until he comes. Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't need to go to the meetings. I can stay right home. Oh, yes. I don't know where you get scripture for that. But the Lord says, gather my saints unto me, and this do in remembrance of me until I come. And you know, my aim and my desire in the Lord's work is not to have these programs on so that people won't come. But my aim is that they may be saved and channel them in the meetings, such as we had last year. We had some saved and channeled into the meetings. Gloriously saved in the meetings today, rejoicing. This is the object of these programs. But many take them and say, well, I don't, it's too many hypocrites in the church and I'd rather just stay home and listen. I'm sure you've heard that. The Lord wants us to have communion with him and fellowship, and he says, until I come, and this do in remembrance of me. So when next Lord's Day comes around, just remember, we don't have the right to say, well, shall I go today? I went last Sunday. I'll have to go next week. The Lord himself says, I didn't say it. And I think of Oliver Green so many times when he preaches, and Dr. John W. Rawlins, they continually say, I didn't write the book, I'm only reading it. And the thing I can tell you this morning, I didn't write what I'm going to tell you, but it says here, until the Lord comes, he wants us to remember him, to have communion and to have fellowship with him for his name's sake. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Our Father, again, we are so thankful to be found here in thy house, thy house of prayer. We thank you for each one who has gathered this morning on another Lord's Day morning. We look back and we think of the meeting that we had gathering around thyself and remembering the finished work of Calvary. Father, we think now too of this meeting and we think of thy word that we have opened up. These exhortations from thy word that we can read until you come. You want us to be obedient. You want us to be busy in service. You want us to be faithful. And until you come, you want us to remember you with communion and fellowship. Father, impress this, instill this upon our hearts and minds. Jesus may come today, he may come soon, but until he comes, we pray that we may find doing thy work. We thank thee for this place here, Park of the Palms, and each one who gets us. Think of our brother and sister Willie, and all those that have responsibilities here. Keeping this place going as an oasis in the desert, we pray that many will come in these doors, on these grounds, and be helped spiritually and even be saved. Father, come in today and bless us as we continually wait upon thee. We pray for the sick and those that are bereaved. We pray for thy servants that are ministering in the four corners of the earth. Father, again, we remember them. Now forgive us where we have failed thee, and help us to love thee and to serve thee more. In Jesus' name, amen.